Turn, if you will, to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is a book about joy and victory in the Lord. And in the book, chapter 1, Paul seems to point to circumstances as that which robs us of victory in Christ and joy. And then chapter 2, he talks about people. People seems to rob us of that joy and victory. Chapter 3, our own flesh and who we are seems to rob us. And then he concludes in chapter 4 and saying, I've learned in all circumstances in life to be content. So it is a book of victory, of conquering this life. And so I want to just read one verse, but we'll go through much of the chapter in chapter 1. Look in verse 6. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, and we ask you to challenge us, to encourage us, to lift us up, Lord, that we may follow your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in a difficult world. You hear all that's going on, you think, my goodness, the world is falling apart. But then you read about the Apostle Paul, and you find in this book that Paul has been imprisoned. Why has he been in prison? Has he committed a crime? Has he done something wrong? No, he's in prison for preaching the gospel. Well, so far, that hadn't happened to me yet. So you and I think it's just rough and difficult, and at times it is. But Paul faced a very difficult circumstances. And so we want to look this morning, and how did he conquer that? Very interesting. I don't know if you and I can ever arrive to the level of commitment the Apostle Paul had. I don't know many people who could. But his life ought to inspire us that whether we're here or here or here, that we raise up our level of commitment to the Lord, because he was a very committed man. One of the reasons he could go through circumstances was he had a single-minded purpose in life. The Apostle Paul was not deterred by things all around him and all that went on and got all confused in this. The Apostle Paul had a single-minded purpose. It's kind of like someone who trains for the Olympics. And you and I, when we may see that or may see a championship team win a ball game or a championship, we go, isn't that great? But what you don't realize, the single-minded commitment they had to have to that. When you see an Olympic athlete win something, don't think they just showed up yesterday. They had their eyes focused. They trained for years. And that's all they had on their mind. And no matter what else happened, no matter what else they did, they never lost their focus of where they were headed. And so they had a single-minded purpose. And that's how they got through any difficulties they may face, winning or losing. That's the way the Apostle Paul was. Apostle Paul was single-minded purpose. And may I say this, in order to be like the Apostle Paul, you and I have to kind of give up to be like the Apostle Paul, some of our self-centered plans, some of our self-centered comfort, some of our self-centered conveniences. We are so easily in life pursuing what we want, and if things get in the way or make it inconvenient, we can become upset or bothered. The Apostle Paul was not that way. This man was single-minded purpose, to bring honor and glory to God in every circumstances and to fulfill God's purpose for his life. He was single-mindedly devoted to that. And I want you to notice three things. First of all, back in verse 6, Paul was always confident in God's purpose in his life. He says to them, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He writes to them in prison and said, I'm very confident. And he's talking about the purpose of salvation. He's not necessarily talking about their individual purpose, though that might apply. He's talking about the purpose of salvation. He who began a good work, he who caused you to be born again, the Holy Spirit came to live in you, he's working to sanctify you and mature you. He will complete that until the day of Jesus Christ, when he either takes you home or Christ comes back. He says, I'm very confident. And basically in this salvation, I'm very confident in salvation, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. He will work it out. He will make it work until Jesus comes back. So the first thing that gave Paul a single-minded purpose is his confidence in God. His confidence in salvation. Salvation is not just we turn over a new leaf and we try to live better. Salvation is a work of God that changes us. And he begins that work. He's been working in me since I was 9 years of age. And he will take me all the way through until the day of my death or until Jesus Christ comes back to take us home. He will never abandon us. He is at work inside of us. He's at work around us. And so Paul was confident. He had a mission in life to be a part of what God was doing. Second thing, I want you to notice in verse 12. He says, but I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You know, I'm afraid, and I include myself in this, I'm afraid if they chained me up to a guard, said, why are you doing this? And imprisoned me. Well, because you've been preaching. What? Okay, call my lawyer. Call somebody. Get me out of this situation. And I'd probably been telling and complaining to that guard the whole time. I can't believe you people. You are a sorry guard. You are no good. Trying to lock me up. I'm trying to preach the gospel. I'm trying to serve the Lord. And probably would be fussing quite a bit. Not the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul looked at every circumstance as an opportunity. As an opportunity. All circumstances that present themselves that are not necessarily like this present themselves as opportunity to be an instrument of the Lord in that situation. And you know what the Apostle Paul did? He said, you know, actually me being in prison has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And he says this, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. You know why? I guarantee you, when Paul had a guard out there or he was chained up, he'd say, brother, do you know Christ? Are you saved? Let me tell you about this Christ I'm preaching. And probably some of them got saved and the news just spread all over the place. Do you know who this Apostle Paul is? My goodness, this man is a dynamo Christian. So the Apostle Paul says, you know, rather than being in a gloomy, terrible situation, I've been used of God in this situation to bring people to Christ so that the gospel is still going forward. It's, oh man, I had to go to the hospital. And I know that's not fun. But do you know what? When you do go, you'll meet people that you never would have had the opportunity to meet before. You'll meet nurses that you would have never seen. Oh man, I had to take my car to be in fit. Oh man, that's so bad. Did you know you'll have the opportunity to meet someone that you never had met if your car hadn't run that way? Well, I have to do this. Oh, man, this situation happened. Oh, this situation. Just think of all the opportunities you had in the midst of that situation to be a testimony and a light for the Lord. The Apostle Paul, rather than being gloomy and defeated and murmuring and complaining about it, he simply used it as an opportunity to further what was his mission in life. To demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I got to wait in line to return this item. I can't believe that. So you get up there to return the item and you go, can't believe you people. I had to wait in line for all this. Rather, you could have gone up there and said, you know what? I'm a Christian and you're doing a good job. You see, it was an opportunity for either you to be used of God or to destroy your testimony for God.
You see, circumstances are difficult at times and they're tough, but they are opportunities for you to be used of God. Notice what he said in verse 14. And many of the brethren, the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much, much more bold to speak the word without fear. Notice, not only has the news about me been broadcast, but others have gained the confidence and the encouragement to pursue the Lord because I hang tough in this situation. I've been with many, many people in suffering circumstances and difficult circumstances. And some I've seen the light of Christ just shine forth. I've seen the grace of God just shine forth. And I'd come home sometime and tell Dean, I said, you know, so-and-so, man, they were an inspiration. They're in that situation and they're in that difficult time, and yet I see God's grace in their life. Boy, it inspires me to want to go further with the Lord. It inspires me to want to do better for the Lord. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. It inspired others. Then notice in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bounds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Whatever was going on, there were some, while he was in prison, were supposedly preaching the gospel, but not really sincerely, to cause him harm by seeing, aha, see how good we're doing, see how great it's going, to cause him harm. So not only was he encouraging others, but people were trying to hurt him. Were trying to hurt his feelings by what they did. Make him feel bad for his situation. You know what he said in verse 18? What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. It doesn't matter. If they're doing it for the wrong motive, it doesn't matter. If they're doing it to hurt me, if they say anything about Christ, hallelujah, I'm encouraged by that. In other words, he saw the good out of everything God was doing in his circumstance. By first being used of God, secondly, by that use encouraging others, and if even people harmed him or hurt him, he still saw good in the fact it doesn't matter. God will still work and bring good. You see, if your life is consumed with comfort, well, I like to be comfortable. You know, you and I at times in life, and I'm no different, like for, you know, we like for everything to just work out just right. It's just perfect. If I leave here and go today, I'd like for it all just to ride perfectly, you know, nobody get in my way. Don't want to run into too many stop lights. Went in yesterday and caught every single one. That just makes life, you know, I don't want that. That's just uncomfortable. And part of that is because the life is focused on self. And what I want. And comfort. And ease. And how I feel. Oh, God forbid that I'd ever feel bad. God forbid that anybody would ever not speak to me. God forbid that no one ever be nice to me. You know those people down there? They're not very friendly at all. Well, God forbid anything like that. You know what that is? That's focus on self, what I want. That's a person that's in a lane down this way when the Apostle Paul was in a lane this way. I'm here to fulfill God's purpose in my life. I'm here to proclaim that gospel. I'm here to show people that Jesus makes a difference in the life. I'm here to be a testimony for the Lord. I'm here focused on God. And so when circumstances came, big deal, it's just another opportunity to be used of God. You know, today people can't even hardly, we're so geared to comfort and ease and pleasure. Well, God forbid we'd have to stay somewhere an extra hour. Oh my goodness, it'd be terrible if we'd have to do something extra spiritually. We're sometimes consumed, I don't necessarily mean you, but we as a nation are just so consumed with self and not consumed with God and his calling in our life. And the Apostle Paul said, look, these circumstances have become opportunities for me. I think of going to the hospital. I think of one particular gentleman years ago going to the hospital.
and had a difficult time and just was sick, you know, and was not able to do many things. But when I'd run in there, I'd hear the people talk about, boy, he's been making these nurses laugh like crazy. They've been enjoying themselves. Who is this fellow? Oh, he's a Christian. Do you know if you happen to go to the hospital, rather than say, oh, man, I got to go to the hospital, it's going to be bad, y'all look and say, I wonder how many new nurses I'm going to meet. How I can display Christ and his grace to them. How I can show them, even in this difficult circumstances, God is still good to me, and I will make it. That's what Paul did. He looked at circumstances and opportunity. Secondly, I want you to notice in verse 19, he looked at circumstances as always able to seek God in his glory. He said, verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't mean to be saved. He used the word to mean, I know this is going to work out. I'm probably going to be delivered out of this prison. So I know it's going to happen because of your prayers and because of the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, see some good out of this. I trust the Lord. He's going to answer my prayer because you've been praying, and I trust the power of the Holy Spirit. This is probably going to turn out. But then he says this. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by it be death. Did you catch what he said? The important thing of this situation is not whether I'm delivered and I receive answers to prayer. The important situation in this situation is that whether I live or whether I die, Jesus Christ will be honored and glorified by my conduct and by who I am. Boy, that gives you an opportunity to be different in circumstances. And I don't just preach to you, I preach to me today. Because the Apostle Paul had a single-minded purpose to be used of God, but secondly, to always bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of those in the past and the grace they displayed. It was inspirational. Because you could see in their lives, whatever happened, they wanted to bring honor and glory to God. But you see, when I'm in this situation and I'm wanting comfort, or I'm wanting ease, or I want it my way, or I want to just be taken care of by me. It's all about me. Well, God wouldn't mind what we're doing because it's all about me. Well, you can justify any behavior by that attitude. It's all about me. After all, wouldn't God want us happy? But the truth is, if it's about God and his glory and his honor, that'll change how you respond in circumstances. And the Apostle Paul said, that with all boldness, as always, so now all Christ, also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I want him magnified and honored and glorified. Today, my daddy has been gone 30 plus years to heaven. And yet the life that he lived and the dedication he had for the Lord inspires me today. It does. Because every so often I'll think about his faithfulness. I think about his service. I think about the abuse at times he faced. And yet, all I can think of was a faithful man who served the Lord, who did all he could to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. And it inspires me. Even today. As a preacher, nobody would care. How about you? Don't you think of some in the past? Don't you think of some dedicated Christians and their love for the Lord? Do they not inspire you today? Because we want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And notice what Paul said, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That doesn't matter either way. To live this life is Jesus Christ. I love Jesus Christ. I want to serve him. I want to follow him. I want to obey him. I want to bring honor and glory to his name. So my whole life is wrapped around living for Jesus Christ. And so Paul then says, verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, for I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And I have in this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that you rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. You know what Paul said? Hey, my whole life is Christ. But if I die, the hands of these prisoners, I've gained something. I'm going to heaven. But he said, because I want to serve the Lord, I want to stay. I want to be here for your help. I want to be here for your benefit. I want to be here to help you. I want to be here to encourage you so that you will go on with the Lord. So your rejoicing may be abundant in Jesus Christ for my coming to you again. So I can encourage you. I don't want to go for selfish reasons. I'm ready to go and be with Christ because my life is Christ. But I'd rather stay because I want to be a benefit to you. I want to encourage you. I want to keep you going on in the faith. I want you to serve the Lord. You see, Apostle Paul's single-minded devotion to God. People say, oh, that's for the more spiritual people. You wait till you stand before the Lord in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. There is no more spiritual people. I just amuse sometimes when people say something about someone, so you know they're very religious. They're very religious. I'm like, what do you mean by that? They're very religious. Usually what they mean is they go to church all the time. And they're dedicated to the Lord. And it's almost like it's a disease. they're very religious, set apart from us. But us, you know, we don't do those things. That's sad. Because Apostle Paul gives us an encouragement. Hey, single-minded devotion to the Lord. So when you face circumstances, okay, Lord, wow, what an opportunity. Who will I get to be a demonstration of God's grace in my life? Oh, wow, Lord, what an opportunity. How can I bring honor and glory to you by this? Well, I want to fuss about it, so I just won't fuss about it. And I'll be complimentary and I'll be gracious to people. In other words, how can I bring honor and glory to the Lord? And then he says this in verse 27. Only let your conversation, that doesn't mean you're speaking, it means your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said, let me hear about you. I want to hear that your lifestyle reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, your life should have a single-minded devotion to the Lord, to bringing honor and glory to him, and not about you and self and comfort and pleasure and how you feel and if they said the right thing or they didn't say the right thing or they did the right thing or they did the wrong thing or I got good circumstances or I got good bad circumstances. All circumstances become an opportunity. I ministered to Deanne's father for 30-some years. And at the end, he faced a difficult circumstances, and it was a little difficult us getting there, but the Lord opened up a great opportunity for something that never would have happened had he not got sick. I don't know what would have happened in eternity had he not got sick and gone through the suffering he did. All circumstances become an opportunity. But you know what I think is sad today? For a lot of people, you know, I finally figured out something. It don't matter what I do. It don't matter what I preach. It don't matter what I say. I finally just kind of given up to some way. People are going to do what they want to do. I kind of figured that out. And I just pray for people. But there are going to be people that will serve the Lord and be faithful to the Lord, but some are just going to do what they want to do, and there's nothing I can do about it. Except this, I can be faithful to the Lord. I can serve the Lord. I can focus on the Lord. I can make my life the Lord. You can too, because not everything in life is going to work out right. We live in a world that is so consumed with self
As 2 Timothy 3 says, they'll be lovers of themselves. Everything in life is about them and not about God. And so, as a result, there's not that many people who are devoted, who have a single purpose in life. Let me tell you something. You can come to church all your life. All you got to do is go somewhere in a circumstance and be unruly and ungodly and be unchristlike, and you will destroy it every time you came to church. Every time you came to church. Because every circumstance becomes an opportunity to either show you're serious about it or it's just about you and me and my. Now, preacher, you're really preaching to us. No, I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. Because I realize how much is in there. And as I study the Apostle Paul, I realize, you know, this man, I'd have been somewhere tied up, chained to a prisoner, and I probably would have been saying to Paul, I've been trying to do my best. I've been preaching all this time. And look at there, they've chained me. You know what he'd say? Boy, get over it. Let's tell this guard about Jesus Christ and how wonderful it is. This is a great life, isn't it? Oh, well, yeah, it is wonderful being saved. But I don't like being chained up to this guard. And oh, I've been trying my best. Paul would say, come on, fella. God's at work. God's with us. God's doing something. Let's use this as an opportunity to demonstrate the power of God through answered prayer, through our testimony, through the encouragement we would give others as we hang tough. And you know what? That would inspire me. Inspired me. I'll encourage you today. We'll never arrive to the Apostle Paul. He was one of a kind. That's why I like him so much. He was one of a kind. I guarantee you he'd been like one preacher. People would come to the church and visit the church, and the pastor would talk to them and say, well, pastor, you know, we kind of liked it, but y'all don't do some things we want. You know, we want this, and we want people to do this, and we kind of want this program. You know, the pastor said to him, well, great, we don't want you then. Go find another church, because that's not what we're about. We're about being committed to Jesus Christ and loving him. Now, that's pretty bold. You know, I kind of think that's what the Apostle Paul would have said. I wouldn't say it, but that's what the Apostle Paul would say. Commitment and dedication. You want to handle circumstances? Even when I got a hangnail. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to say, you know, this hangnail don't bother me. Praise the Lord, things are well. I'm committed to the Lord. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we ask you to encourage us and challenge us this morning. May your Holy Spirit work in our lives and be inspired by the Apostle Paul. We will probably never be as committed as he was because he was a unique man, but his example and his commitment inspires us, Lord, and ought to challenge us to raise our game just a little bit, to do a little better, to be a little bit more committed, to be centered more on bringing honor and glory to you, so that as we face circumstances, our first priority is to honor you and to be used of you in that circumstance. Encourage us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.